Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Unique Yet Connected.
You are now listening to the 38th episode of Unique Yet Connected podcast. The theme for this episode is Live or Worry.
Hello, brilliant souls in and around the world. Nolita Tozwa Fenton is my name. Dolokas is my clan name. And this is episode 38. A warm welcome to Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we treat our episodes as mini workshops so you can best share the wisdom of systemic family constellations. Thank you for joining our movement of translating this wisdom into a practical language that all of us can easily understand and, most importantly, implement in our daily lives. The theme for this episode is you have a choice to live or to worry. Remember, when you comment, ask questions, like, share our content and links, you help us grow together. And there wouldn't be a podcast without you, dear listener. Myself, Kinga, Nick, the ones who came before us, and Bert Hellinger, the founder of the work that is most fulfilling for Kinga and I. And as always, Kinga is on the other side of the virtual. Welcome, Kinga. Hi.
Hi, thank you, Noli. Hello, dear listeners and co-editors. Yes, dear listeners, keep sharing this knowledge because it can change lives for the better. Thank you for your contribution in helping us to be chosen into the top 10 South Africa family podcasts by FeedSpot. You continue to be our inspiration in building and opening up the theme about the laws of love and romantic relationship in this new year. Please continue to share your questions, comments, and insights on uniqueyetconnected@gmail.com and on WhatsApp 076-289-6670. Join our monthly virtual connection circle every last Tuesday evening of the month. To receive your link, subscribe on our website www.uniqueyetconnected.com or check for updates on our socials at Unique Yet Connected.
Or you can simply drop us a WhatsApp message so we can share the link with you. Our WhatsApp number again, dear listener, is 076-289-6670. 076-289-6670. We are still opening up the signs of codependent behavior, and a lot has come up in the last year. And even this year, we are still processing. In fact, I'm still processing. And dear listener, if you need support in any way during your processing time, remember, we are right here for you.
In this episode, we carry on opening up, anticipating and reacting to someone else's needs, which may be perceived accurately or not, from the list of the signs of codependent behavior by Erica Swinley.
Let us read through the list and continue to measure ourselves, dear listener. My pen and paper is already here, and let's all fill into what comes up as we go through the episode. So the list is as follows. Lacking boundaries between yourself and others. Blurring lines in relationships. Your struggle to see where you end and the other person begins. Feeling low self-esteem. Fearing rejection and abandonment. We have worked through these points in episode 35, and you are welcome to go back to the episodes and listen to them. Then in episode 36, we looked at apologizing or accepting blame to avoid conflict, being who someone else wants you to be, ignoring your own needs, putting other people's needs before your own. In episode 37, we started to look into anticipating and reacting to someone else's needs, which may be perceived accurately or not. The following ones are the ones that we still have on our list: feeling like you've lost your sense of self, needing to control. This means including making decisions for others or managing them, doing things for people that make you feel uncomfortable just to make them happy, taking on too much, basing your mood on how someone else feels, resenting not receiving appreciation for your actions. Over to you, Kings.
Thank you. Thank you, Noli. So we are at anticipating and reacting to someone else's need, which may be perceived accurately or not. As I have promised you in the previous episode that we will chat about our core needs, let's look at the needs that are the most important to us. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to belong. We want equal give and take, which means what I'm giving you, I would like to get it back from you. It is not a one-sided exchange, but it is a mutual exchange. We want to be safe. We want to be loved for who we are. We are expecting these to be given to us by the people around us, but they fail to give it to us. It is actually impossible to ask them to give these to us or expect them to give these to us because they were also not loved for who they are. Our parents were not loved for who they are. They themselves don't know how to give us this because they themselves never experienced being fully seen, heard, and loved. They can't give you what they don't have. We're not talking about here the parently love. It's just accepting someone exactly as they are and not trying to fix them or change them, but just guide them. So that is very rare. Obviously, there is a lot of love in the parents. They just can't give us a love which hasn't been a little bit tainted by their own voice, but they haven't received. When we see another person doing something, we assume that it means this, but it might mean that, which means that doesn't mean the same for them. Their void might be different from ours. For example, if someone's partner's core void is to be safe, when they will try to show their love by making everything safe around us, this is their way of showing love, which can end up becoming a work colleague to bring in safety like money rights, or controlling every little detail in the family life to protect the family from the big ball of unpredictable life. If your core issue is that no one had time for you when you were little and you are looking for someone who wants to spend time with you, your voids will clash if you end up being in a relationship. With the best intentions, you will not be able to make each other happy before you work on your own core issue.
Yeah, it's a big one, even in parenting. And we've said this before somewhere in our episodes or conversations, that we tend to parent in how we wish would have been parented, but not according how the children need to be parented. So we mostly want to fulfill our own childhood voids and not the current void that the child feels. So I feel this need and void wisdom is something that I need to have awareness in and learn to apply in the community work that I'm involved in, instead of thinking just because I grew up in a similar community and my need was ABC, and it's automatic that the people in that community have the same needs as me. I really don't want to impose my void in young people and in communities, because I know now that is a disaster for conflict, and it can leave one feeling like these people are ungrateful, but you were not addressing their needs at a deeper level. So that is as far as I want to take this. That's what I've learned.
You know what? That is why they say that Your biggest trauma can become your niche talent in helping people. When you have already healed your void and it is filled in you, then you can be there for people with the same but still unfulfilled void. You can tell them, I walked on this road already. I did this journey. I got here. I slayed the dragon. I jumped through the hoop of fire. I'm here now. I rescued the prince or princess from the tower. This prince or princess, it can easily be your true self, you know, so they're worthwhile to be rescued. That void is something that becomes your greatest strength. If your biggest core hurt was not being seen, and then you have a community around you who goes out and burns tires, seemingly doing all these destructive things, and they say they feel not seen and ignored, then you are the best person to help this community to transform itself from ruin to building. Because you see this community not for just the action they are doing, but you are able to look behind the actions and say, I see your pain. Maybe I can't feel it because we all have our own pain, but I can empathize with it. Not sympathize, I'm not feeling sorry for you. I empathize because I am coming from the same pain. I recognize the pain in you, what was in me. I recognize that as much as I want to be seen, you want to be seen. So this is where the strength comes from, the trauma.
Yeah, so I'm unraveling once again because I just recognize that my core need is to be seen. And I know you are not referring to me, but it hit me like that's my void, you know. And remember that when my parents conceived me, they didn't know for a while that I was there. They were on a pill and missed taking it, blah, blah, blah. So my mom didn't think something had happened. And she went on with her life. And when she did find out months later that she was actually pregnant, she was a student at a nursing college doing her second year, left with a year and a half to graduate. So there was this fear of being seen pregnant as she continued going on about her student life, because as soon as her stomach showed up, she was excluded, even though she was a married woman. And yeah, you know, it was not immoral, you know. But yeah, her stomach showed at the end of July and she was excluded then. And so all of this is coming together for me now. Yeah,
so even your mom's pregnancy, even while you were being created, that had to be unseen as long as it was possible. So it had to be hidden. So this is just something to ponder on as the core pain and how our life and our core pain actually linked in with each other. So there is something that I started to work with that links in with the core pain of also not being seen. But I realized that I don't want to be a nobody. I want to be someone, somebody. Nobody is someone that nobody sees, am I right? Yeah, she almost doesn't even exist. Somebody is somebody who is present and acknowledged, or we can say seen by people. So this is the dynamic that I'm still looking into, but I am working on it. And one of the things, the way I'm working on it, is I'm checking how many times I'm using nobody as a verb. You know? Nobody sees my work, nobody comes, nobody loves me, nobody cares, okay, nobody is there for me. How many times does nobody take over from somebody? What is the way? How can I change my inner conversation from nobody to somebody?
Yo, Kings, yeah. So focusing on the word somebody instead of having so much emphasis on the word nobody. Yeah, no, there's also a lot of stuff that I need to also, yeah, start changing or shifting in my dialogue and thinking.
So we often feel in a workplace that nobody's seeing our work or nobody is there for us. I have to do it on my own. We can change the narrative to somebody appreciates what I'm doing. I just have to look for this person. Maybe I'm not seeing someone.
Yeah, there's always somebody, right? So this brings me to a question. Can a person who needs to be seen be the same person who sabotages or blocks themselves from being seen? Because I feel like I do that to myself.
Yes, definitely. I don't see me and no one sees me. Not being seen means not being seen for who you really are. In the healthy codependent stage of our childhood development, the love and the approval of other people is reflected back to you in their loving eyes. If something similar happened, like it happened with you in your infant story, that you didn't look like what they expected, that could create a narrative in you that even when they see me, all I'm getting back is disapproval.
You are so right, Kings. I think I've focused on the disapproval, and my fear has been that as well, that, oh, they're going to see my work, oh, they're going to see this, and then, you know, no one's going to like it. It's not, yeah, no one's going to approve of it.
Even though all I want to be seen for who I am and loved for who I am, it is not safe for me to be seen.
Oh my goodness, back to being safe. I remember we did the safety thing in previous episodes before, so everything is kind of linked into each other.
What happens when they see me? I get disapproval.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And so then I'll stop myself, or I'll block whatever or wherever it's coming from, you know. Just not to receive it.
Good thing is you can work with it. Constellation could work with this very well. The constellation would be about being seen.
So there we go. Wow, another one. Like, I still marvel at the constellation work. You do a couple of constellations and you're like, okay, my family system has shifted. We're all on the right track, and then something invisible becomes visible, like my need to be seen. And then you realize, wow, there's still more.
So we all start to work with the constellations by looking outside into our relationship with our family members and patterns that we share. The inner parts, like you brought in the sabotaging part, inner parts constellations are more intimate work. For these, we have to be okay to accept that what is happening with us on the outside is actually a reflection of what is happening inside of us. If we were disapproved by someone when we were little, there will be a part of us which is stuck with this feeling and keeps replaying disapproval in our life. This part has started off as a part which was helping us, which I could never tell you what it is. You can only see it in the constellation. How and what way it was helping us. But what happens in the constellation, we just allow it to move back into a supportive role from the sabotaging role. It is a natural thing to move in these processes from outside to inside, because we come from a family and that system we can see and we can feel. Even to get to the concept of the family system being inside us takes a survival to get used to it, am I right?
Yes, it does.
So after all this work, I know, I can feel that my father's line is in me. But he is also outside of me. That is the actual person who is my father. Or in my case, who was my father. My father passed away, so it is easier for me to accept and imagine that he is inside of me, because I can no longer see him outside of me. My relationship is no longer an outside event. It is on the inside, the way I remember my father, and he is in my heart. when you still have an everyday connection with someone, it feels more of an outside connection than an inside one. The part work, we call this inner part, like the sabotaging part, links in very much with the inner child work and also with the generational. When your core void is not being seen, it's only you who will be able to fill this void by looking for and loving the previous and unseen part in you.
Yeah, I totally get it, Kings. I am just shocked that my answer came to me so fast, you know, in this episode. And this is after last night I was having a conversation with a friend and she just asked me, what do you fear the most concerning your success? And she was like, sit with it. And she also shared a video with me to watch. So I'm grateful and surprised that I got the answer so quick. And I feel it's been coming considering the last constellations we've done. So the last one I had with my parents while I was in the womb. So now I would really like to do the 9 months in my mother's womb. I'm booking it now, Kings. I'm booking it. Yeah. Finally, on to the next question. Do you worry a lot? Yes, I used to worry a lot. But I think in the past 2 weeks, it did try to creep in. And I'm trying to manage it, though in the past few years, I've been regulating it well. So I would worry about finances, businesses, overall success, as well as anything else that threatens all of that and the life that I'm creating, and also overthinking. You know, I think worry is related to overthinking, right?
Yes. We will talk in detail about control and overthinking, making decisions for other people, trying to control them to make it safe around us. And just a question, if you, dear listener, is maybe wondering where the do you worry a lot question is coming from. It's coming from our previous episode. I had a few questions to Nolly, so we're looking into them now.
Thank you for clarifying that, Kings. Yes, so I might have something when we get to control and overthinking. You've heard, dear listeners. So in terms of overthinking and worry, they're coming up again in my life. So I think there's something, yeah, there. So we'll look into it when we get there. Thanks, Kings.
So us, all of us, but us, Nolly and myself, working through this episode, we definitely stir up all the unhealed codependency left in us. Some of them are going to create a small havoc and other ones are going to create big havoc in our lives.
Tell me about it. So I've been going through a mini havoc. And I was thinking, what's going on? So at first, when we were preparing for this new chapter, I was like, yeah, I'm so excited. I've been healing myself. I'm looking forward to helping others have healthy relationships and connections. Little did I know that I was awakening some of the ugly monsters in me that were still hanging around. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? You know? So I thought we were over all of these things, but now they're here. And it brought up a lot. Even Sisa and I had one of our biggest fights thus far. So yeah, talking about havocs. And the next question was, are you constantly on the lookout for danger? Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm constantly on the lookout for danger, but once I see red flags, I feel unsafe, then I'm on the lookout, you know, then I don't feel, I would just look out for something. But if I sniff or see anything that's red, that's dangerous, then I never rest. I'm on the constant lookout because then I don't trust anything. I don't trust anyone. I just want to protect myself. So yeah. So dear listener, this episode focused on the codependent behavior. So this is from the previous episode. So if you are listening to this episode, we do recommend that you go to episode 37 as well. So this codependent behavior is called anticipating and reacting to someone else's needs, which may be perceived accurately or not. And it took 2 episodes to peel these layers away. And so we hope as we were peeling the layers, you were also peeling away your layers. And please do share your insights, comments, and questions. And remember, we are here for you. You can book a family constellation session. You can talk to us and tell us what's coming up for you. And then we will hold space for you in the best way that we can. And thank you so much for listening. And Kinga, what can our listeners expect in the next episode?
Before we go to the next episode, I just wanted to say that just a little bit unlock the worry is linked in with the anticipating other people's reaction and needs. And yes, we talk about it more in episode 37. So if you would like to know more, just go there and listen to it. And next episode, there are still a lot of gems. We can unearth why you're working on the list of the signs of codependent behavior. We have our list. And if you feel like you are experiencing limiting patterns or relationship issues and would like to have an individual session, book a family constellation session with us on our website, www.uniqueyetconnected.com, or on socials, Facebook or Instagram. Our handle on both platforms is @uniqueyetconnected.
And thank you for listening to our 38th episode. And another big thank you to Nick Mons from That Guy Productions for making us sound fabulous and on point. And if you'd like to get in touch with That Guy Productions, do check our website. We do have a page where you can link into his work and to his website and to all his socials. And yes, our 39th episode is in 2 weeks' time from now. Tune in on the 4th of February 2024 at 10 a.m. South African Standard Time. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Like our pages. Engage with us on Facebook or on Instagram at Unique Yet Connected. Unique spelled YOUNIQUE. Stay unique, stay connected, and remember, you are one of a kind, and we can only create a really meaningful podcast together. Siyabulela, Kosomo, Kamago, till the next episode.
Thank you. Siyabulela.